Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Muliwa Gabaza, and for today, we are talking about financing small businesses, what it means to manage working capital, and what COVID-19 has actually done to the way in which small businesses are operating out there and managing their finances. And to help us to unpack what's actually going on in the industry, we're actually joined by Trevor Gosling, who is the co-founder of Lulalend, which is a digital business-to-business lender. And they recently actually announced a new product called LulaPay, which is designed to help SMEs to get invoices paid faster and actually help small business owners to manage their cash flow more effectively. So we're just going to be talking to him and getting some insights into what they're doing and some of the rationale now behind this decision. Trevor, greetings to you.
Hi Madiwa, how are you doing?
No, doing all right on this end. Thank you so much for taking your time to join us on the Business Day Spotlight. I think just a good place for us to start before we maybe touch on the LulaPay product. Lulalend, what are you guys doing? How long have you guys been around? And what is the business model?
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me. And thanks to everyone for listening. So Lulalend launched almost 6 years ago. So we're, as you mentioned, focused on digitally servicing SMEs and giving them quick and easy access to funding. So when we launched 6 years ago, we saw the massive need in the SME community for access to finance. So we built proprietary machine learning models to be able to underwrite this segment of the market to a typically neglected by banks and other traditional institutions because they are difficult to underwrite and in most instances don't have a lot of collateral to their names, whether personally in the name of the business owner or in the business itself. So they need different mechanisms to be able to be lent to. And that's what we went about solving. At the same time, we realized that we didn't want to just give them access to funding. We wanted to give them the best experience and approach possible where they could basically access funding in real time through a digital platform, no branch visits, nothing of the sort like that. So that's what we focused our time on solving. Over the years, we've funded thousands of businesses across e-commerce to retail, manufacturing, construction, professional services, you name it, we've funded businesses in those segments. And then, you know, as we've evolved as a business and as really COVID came about, we realized the need for businesses to get invoices paid. So we found during this whole COVID period that lots of businesses were in a good position, or they thought they were in a good position. You know, maybe they looked profitable on their P&L, but they didn't have the cash because their customers weren't paying their invoices for whatever reason. And then we dug into that and realized that actually it's a bigger issue than that. COVID had really brought it under the spotlight, but typically invoices for B2B customers take around 65 days to be paid. So if you think of that, that's a big burden on a business that they have to for 65 days hold out until a customer actually pays them. And that really propelled us to develop LulaPay using our existing rails and leveraging the technology we had built, but really getting into a place where we're managing the trade credit for a business where they can themselves issue an invoice and get paid immediately by ourselves. And then we take on the risk of the customer and give their customer 30, 60, 90 days to pay on that invoice and really remove any risk from the business owner themselves.
Now, Trevor, there are some interesting things that happen in this space, and I think a lot of small businesses tend to complain a lot when it comes to maybe supplying some bigger, for example, farmers or, you know, maybe small businesses that will be feeding into a big retail chain like maybe Pick n Pay, Woolies, Checkers or whatever. And one of the big complaints out there is that working capital becomes an issue because some of these companies will literally give you 90-day terms and will pay on maybe day 89. Could you give us some insights just for people that maybe don't run businesses and don't fully understand how these terms work? What is that typical working capital cycle looking like for the small businesses around South Africa?
Yeah, spot on. So, in the example you just highlighted, you're a business owner. You've got a product that you've sold onto another business, and then that you send out your invoice, but you inherently have to wait 90 days before that invoice gets paid, and you get cash back in your pocket. That essentially you want to be investing into. Increasing your inventory hold or your work in progress, whatever the case may be, is depending on what industry you're in. But if you're having that 90-day or whatever time lag, you're essentially having to self-fund yourself through that. And typically, what customers would then look to do is go, well, I've got this invoice. Let me rather get it paid up front and take a big knock on giving a discount. To an invoice discounter or whatever the case may be is. And then essentially you're losing already 5%, 6% of the value of your invoice upfront just so that you can get paid earlier. And if you annualize that, it becomes a serious cost in terms of what you're actually, what you're self-funding in that scenario. So that really highlighted to us the need that business owners need cash in hand as soon as possible. But at the same time, they really shouldn't be penalized just because they want to get an invoice paid sooner rather than later. And that really developed our thinking around, what sort of products is necessary in this environment where a business owner themselves has real-time access to that cash when they issue an invoice, but at the same time, they're not getting penalized by having to significantly discount that, or conversely, really just have to wait 90 days until they actually receive the funds in that invoice and then give them the ability to move forward.
So just as a point of clarity, are we saying that through Lula Pay that a small business can receive 100% of their invoiced amount through your service if they opt in? I'm only asking because there are a number of large corporates that do offer somewhat immediate payment, but as you said just now, there is that knock, maybe 1 or 2% that's taken to say you want early payment, you need to take this knock.
Yeah, spot on. So that's we sort of flipped the thinking on its head in terms of what we believe makes the most sense. We believe the business owner themselves shouldn't be penalized and should be getting access to 100% of that invoice upfront and really shouldn't be carrying the burden of the cost. And rather, whoever's taking 30, 60, 90 days to make that actual payment, if there is any cost involved, it should be on their side. However, the way our product works is we still give the ability for the first 30 days to be cost-free or interest-free, and really only if you want to take it over 60, 90 days is there a cost element involved.
I like the fact that you have brought in that that cost element, because I guess the other thing to then understand is at what point does Lulaland actually then make money from offering the service?
Yeah, so exactly. We'll make money later down the road, but what this, really gives us the ability is to create a bigger distribution network that we can also start funding or at least embedding our other funding products into. So we're looking at it as a bigger distribution play from our side.
And the other one to also then think about is you mentioned at the beginning that part of the rationale for even starting the whole business 6 years ago was the fact that there's this whole segment of businesses that have been ignored by traditional lenders. So from that point of view, how has the experience been in terms of running your business? Is it really as risky as traditional players would have thought? Because if traditional players have been averse to, lending to this particular segment of the market, they might have done some calculations, And in your experience, has it, if you're still around 6 years, it means that it must be working on your end. So why do you think the traditional space is still choosing to avoid some of these businesses?
Look, I think first and foremost, it is definitely a riskier segment. Any smaller business that has been around for a short period of time has a far greater chance of going out of business versus someone who or company that has been around for 10 years and is generating substantial turnover and has, a sort of supply chain set up, and they have they've built up a customer base and all that sort of thing. So it is definitely a far more risky segment of the market. So the way we looked at it is, to truly be able to serve this market, it would need to be digital to cut out unnecessary infrastructure costs that a typical bank would have to carry. So for a bank, whether they're writing a 500,000 rand loan or a 5 million rand loan, they're pretty much using the same amount of resource and infrastructure spend that they would need to cover through that. So it's not really profitable for them then to start writing the smaller business. So through our model being digital and being able to really reduce the cost per application, essentially, we were able to work a model that we would be able to profitably serve the segments of the market. However, saying that, a large piece of work and what we've been refining over the years is our underwriting capabilities. So assessing a small business is very different to assessing a bigger business with assets on their balance sheet that you can take as collateral, and you know that you've got some security there. Their cash flows are a whole lot more stable. You can forecast their performance a whole lot better. When it comes to a small business, things are a lot more erratic, let's put it that way, in terms of how a business could potentially perform going forward. And really, over the years, we've had to utilize cutting edge techniques, for instance, machine learning capabilities, to be able to really get a strong understanding around the business and what we call the true business health, and how, where we see them going and how we see them performing going forward. But and then it doesn't really just stop there. It doesn't just stop on the fact that, yes, this is a decent business that you can lend to. It's also understanding, the affordability. To what amount can you lend to this business, and how should you be collecting from this business? For instance, if you're a construction company, you've got a whole very different cash flow profile to someone who's running a restaurant and getting daily customers through the door and daily customer receipts and how you collect from them. So there were all these different facets that we really pulled together to be able to, as I mentioned, not just service the market, but service it really optimally, that we're helping grow these businesses. That's, first and foremost in our minds that we need to be doing. It's not just a case of giving them access to funding, it's making sure that these funds are helping take them to the next level and help them build their company.
And then COVID-19, this is something that you had actually alluded to in the beginning of the conversation. Where have you seen, I guess, lending practices going in the last maybe 6 months? Because there's a lot of different, factors. It seems like a cocktail, of different factors that have been affecting small businesses. On the one hand, we know that a number of small businesses just either lost a lot of business or completely had to shut down. At the same time, the government was offering its was incentivizing banks and other lenders to actually lend to small businesses, for example. At the same time, consumer habits have changed. All of these different factors. How is that affecting, I guess, thinking around lending in your industry?
Yeah, so I mean, over the last 6 months, and as COVID has unfolded and restriction levels have changed, the whole lending environment has been, thrown up in the air to a large extent. So it went through an initial first wave when lockdown first hit, where really there was a flurry of businesses that knew they didn't have very strong liquidity, that didn't see potential to get out of lockdown successfully or with a business still intact. So we saw in the lending environment a flurry of applications coming through. However, at that point in time, those types of businesses were really the ones who needed access to quick and easy grant funding that was probably more available in developed markets than we've had capacity to offer in South Africa. So And at the same time, you know, typical lenders like ourselves, we are commercial lenders. So we don't give out grant funding. If funding goes out, there are commercial terms to it, and we need to be repaid. And so a lot of the lenders just needed to be cautious at that time in terms of not giving out funding irresponsibly to businesses that they themselves wouldn't be able to get through. And then as restrictions have lightened over the time, slowly but surely, businesses who've maybe been better placed or had better pockets of liquidity, they've then started, as things opened up, to start tapping into the credit market again. But I think it's been a sluggish return. Most businesses we've seen really themselves being cautious in that their mindset is not currently in growth, so they're not looking to fund growth at this point in time. They're really looking to survive in large part. And again, this is all very industry specific. You know, if we think back to the earlier days of lockdown, the essential service providers, that was actually a great time for growth for them. So access to funding, or at least getting access to funding for them, was important, and we made sure we were back. But really, most business owners were have been and still are cautious as they've thought through, you know, where their business is at this point in time, and where do they see it going, and is it necessary for them to take on funding to be able to get to the next level. So what we have seen, though, in certain segments of the market, you know, definitely smaller businesses with turnover below 15 million rand or so, is the lack of support from the banks with their government-backed schemes that they've gone to market with. Those really have been focused on the larger scale SMEs, you know, 20 million plus turnover, probably more at the 100 million plus turnover level. So really, it's been a really difficult trading environment for the smaller businesses in more than one way. They are the most vulnerable, but at the same time, they probably received less support than your more established companies.
And also on that front, of the, you know, the ways in which COVID-19 has affected lending practices in the market over the last few months, which of, I guess, some of the trends do you think are going to be things that maybe remain with us? Some of the more fundamental changes in the market that you anticipate to continue? Because, for example, with Lula Pay, there's probably something that you guys have seen to say, okay, fine, this is fundamental. And for us to actually launch a whole product around this, it means you guys are seeing long-term potential in this market. So what are some of the other maybe other trends that you think are going to be with us you know, in the foreseeable future, and not just something that's you know, just here for now?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it is industry specific. I think there's industries that really will go back to normality, or in their lives, you know, they will continue to operate as they did pre-COVID, and there won't be massive changes. You know, there might be improvements they can make operationally by becoming more digital. But for instance, a construction company is not as you know, they're still going to be a construction company post this. They're more reliant on factors that the government start implementing around infrastructure spend and things like that. So their day-to-day isn't going to change significantly. A construction company is still going to really rely on tenders to be able to for their long-term, or for their longevity in terms of how they're going to perform. But in terms of the actual fundamentals of how they run the business and how they needed to perform for their customer, that's not going to change dramatically. But then if you cross over to industries, you know, particularly retail focused, we're going to see, and we're already seeing seismic shifts there, where, you know, if you're a retailer and you relied on foot traffic, that was maybe more cash-based to be able to service your customers, that's going to transition to your customers could be, you know, focused on e-commerce. You could find 20% of your customer base is now e-commerce focused. And if you're not in the e-commerce space or you haven't got a digital presence there, you're potentially going to be losing out on 20% of your existing customer base. So you need to be able to pivot there. At the same time, if you're accepting cash payments, we see more and more people moving away from cash. You have to have digital payment options activated to be able to service your customer base. Again, if you don't, that's going to be an issue for you to be able to trade successfully going forward. So, for me, all the advice from our side to any small business owner is really understanding their industry, their environment that they're operating within, and how that's potentially going to change as we move forward. And in a number of cases, it's not going to return to normality. This is going to be how the business trades on a day-to-day basis going forward. And making sure that you're adaptable enough to be able to handle that change is imperative. Otherwise, you might find yourself out of business sooner rather than later.
Perhaps as an extension to that advice to businesses and how they manage their working capital, I guess what are some of the things that you've seen in the different ways? Because you did highlight earlier on that there is a difference between how you assess a smaller business versus maybe a more medium business and a bigger business, etc. Do you find that there are also differences in the way that the different types of businesses also manage their working capital, or are business owners just making the same mistakes across the board?
I suppose, bigger businesses, you have a finance department who are helping manage your cash flow. They're experienced in finance, understand that world. They have a constant monitor on working capital. So they're far more prepared versus your smaller business owner, who the business owner themselves is also running the finance of the company. And generally, the finance isn't the reason that they got into business in the first place. That's sort of a side thing. They are a baker because they love to bake, and that's their passion, and that's what they want to focus on. So finance almost gets neglected, which at Lululemon, that's what we're trying to solve for in a large part, that we're saying, hey, look, we want to take the worry out of finance for you. We want to be able to give you the cash flow support you need so that you can go back to the basics of focusing on your business and your passion. So, but if I look across smaller businesses and how they think about working capital, I think a big thing is just maybe being a bit more on touch or in touch with their financial performance and the admin that goes along with that. Really just understanding where their spend is and being as lean as possible to help preserve cash flow. For me, that's a guiding principle of how I've started up my companies, is the fact that you, in a large part, have control of your costs. You don't necessarily have control of your revenue. So really, on your cost side, if you can reduce that as much as possible and still be efficient in terms of how you operate your business, and again, the service you offer to your customers should never be compromised because of it. But there are ways in which a business can be run far leaner to be able to save that capital and really invest it into other necessary areas of the business. And just to give you the longevity to be able to succeed, cash flow runway is the biggest reason why businesses go out of businesses, because they haven't had a long enough runway to keep them going. If you can keep that cash flow runway going as long as possible, it increases your likelihood of success. And then the other thing which we've spoke about, and which talks to the LulaPay product, is being on top of your invoice payments. So especially in the B2B space, we see this neglected massively. So you've issued invoices, but you have clients who in over 3, 4 months still haven't paid you, but you really haven't managed that process well enough. It's the case of really getting on the phone and engaging with that company, their payments department, or the other business owner themselves, and saying, look, this is an outstanding invoice. It's really severely affecting my cash flow ability. I need you to pay. And that really gave us the thinking to why LulaPay is so necessary, that business owners shouldn't be carrying this burden. And again, they can go back to the whole reason and passion of why they started their business in the first place.
And then on the last point, in the interest of time, we keep hearing about a post-COVID world, a time when COVID-19 will not be ruling our lives anymore. So for yourself, as a co-founder of Lulaland, how are you feeling about your own business? And I guess in answering that, are there any perhaps milestones over the years that you could use to maybe give us a sense of how big the business has grown in the last 6 years?
Cool, yeah. So I suppose as we reflect internally, as with any business, we were definitely affected as we went into COVID. Very fortunate from our perspective that we were completely digital from the get-go. So operationally, our business hasn't been affected at all. Operating remotely hasn't been a problem for our company. We very much reliant on, the success of the SME market in South Africa and their ability to be able to actively trade first and foremost, and then, ultimately succeed and grow their businesses from there. So obviously the earlier months of COVID and the heavy restrictions hampered that from our side. We're a very well capitalized business supported by very big venture capital companies and institutional investors that are supportive of our business model and what we're doing in the market. So we were never under any major threat there. But really, our continued success and where we go forward is as I said, dependent on the SME market and how they respond. So we're confident though that there will be a bounce back. We've already seen it thus far in terms of where we were in the earlier days of lockdown versus now, where businesses trading has picked up. And from our side, we want to continue to be there and supportive to those businesses, but at the same time, continue to develop solutions that can help our customers trade better, understand their company a whole lot better, and help improve their chances of success. I think it's been a difficult environment for everyone, but we're still very optimistic of where this landscape is going to be in the future. And really, fundamentally, South Africa need a thriving SME market to be able to succeed. So we're happy that we can support this industry and at the ultimately help South Africa's economy pick up as well.
So that's been us with Trevor Gosling, who is the co-founder of Lulaland, giving us some insight into what the lending landscape is looking like in South Africa, particularly around small businesses. And they have a new product called LulaPay, where they're actually helping small businesses to have their invoices being paid faster so that they can reduce the lag between which a small business owner renders a service or product and actually gets money into their pocket for that. He's also just, giving us the caveat that it is a riskier market to lend to, but that there's a lot of potential and the fact that it is a large market and they've developed tools through their technology to make sure that they can assess businesses that would normally be left ignored by traditional lenders. Also giving us some insight into the actual business itself, letting us know that they were affected, but he says the fact that they are digital and didn't have some of the more normal infrastructure costs really help them to go forward, and at the same time just giving some advice to small businesses around how they can better manage some of their working capital and finances. So thank you so much to Trevor for that.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
A very fascinating conversation with Trevor, just around what's going on in terms of working capital and the SME space. And I think they're attacking a very crucial problem. And when you think about some of the short-term lending facilities and loan facilities that traditional lenders actually have, this is actually a space that actually needs more growth. That's on the first hand. And the second issue is just the fact that there seems to be a lot of stringent requirements that are usually needed by traditional lenders, which is why we've seen the rise of quote-unquote alternative lenders like Lulaland, and why they see a space for themselves to be launching products like this. It's because there is that demand, and it was just good to hear what's actually going on in this space and hearing the ways in which businesses are actually changing how they operate to actually effectively manage their cash flow. The other interesting thing, and I think going forward, this is where the space is going to actually have some good traction and good growth, is how people use technology. Because he couldn't really divulge how exactly they are assessing the people that they lend to, but some of the technology that people are using to actually assess the credibility of a business model or its prospects for long-term success, especially using algorithms, might be, at least in the long term, might actually provide some good basis upon which maybe even traditional lenders might be able to get themselves to change their own practices, and thereby lending to a greater pool of people, which in turn is a good thing for the country, especially given how many SMEs there are in the country and how many people are actually employed by the sector. So, very interesting discussion. And the other one, we just hope and pray that, apart from the efforts that are being made by companies like Lulaland, that supply that big clients, big customers, maybe retail chains, listed companies that do get services from the SME sector might be willing or to change how they do business, because it can be quite crippling if a business, which is literally running hand to mouth, is forced to wait maybe 90 days before they are paid, maybe for a big order. Small businesses usually need and want cash on hand. So we just hope and pray that inside all of these different efforts that are being made, that on the one hand, you do have lenders like Lulaland having these products that are available to help settle invoices, but at the same time, there must be like businesses also willing to understand the plight of small businesses a bit better and do their part to actually heed the call and do their part to help businesses to have better working capital cycles and to give them payments at a faster rate. And with that, we've come to the end of today's show. Thank you so much. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter, where hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashemaite. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.